greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
I'm your host, Dave Nelson, and welcome to the Vinyl Garage. Come along as we explore the lesser-heard world of rock and roll, beginning with its roots in the blues of the 30s, through the R&B of the 50s, to the releases of today that still respect the music from which it came. All the while touching on the history, collectability, and significance of each piece of vinyl. We're about to expand your musical comfort zone, one record at a time. As the 60s progressed, the responsibility for that aforementioned protest, as it pertains to civil rights in a musical context, was passed from the folk artist to that of R&B, who well into the 70s kept the prize in the forefront and in the charts. We're starting with a song that was originally inspired by a Berkeley, California anti-war protest in People's Park that was later baptized Bloody Thursday due to the brutal police response. Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. Although the anti-war movement got the song rolling, it was quickly adopted by the civil rights community. Motown Records founder Berry Gordy was against its release, citing it sounded dated, calling the track the worst thing I ever heard. Gaye, however, refused to record anything else for Gordy until it found its way to vinyl. The single's release was signed off on by a sales vice president. What's Going On would eventually sell over 2 million copies. That vice president, Barney Ailes, would stay in Detroit when Motown moved to L.A. in 1972.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? Everybody thinks we're at home. Oh, but who are they to judge us? Simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know we've got to find a way. Bring
walks out. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right, right on. Right on.
Telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
None of us are free. are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. And there are people still in darkness, and they just can't see the light. If you don't say it's wrong, then that says it's right. We got to try to feel for each other. Let our brothers know that we care. Got to get the message, send it out loud and clear. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us are chained. None of us are free. Now I swear, your salvation isn't too hard to find. That the truth is shining bright right before our eyes. None of us are free. None of us are free. None of us are free. One of us is chained. None of us are free.
Arguably one of, if not the best Sam Cooke song of all time, the spooky, and that's Sam's description, A Change Is Gonna Come. Released early 1964 on RCA as the B-side to the single Shake. The track was performed live only once, and that was on The Tonight Show on February 7th. Cooke was shot and killed by an LA hotel manager in December of that same year. He was 33. Written 40 years after the fact, in 1993, None of Us Are Free by Brill Building alums Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil. Despite being way too late for the 60s Civil Rights Party, the song was sadly still relevant in 2002. When recorded by Soul Founding Father Solomon Burke, and criminally relevant still as this show airs. Next up, another Marvin Gaye pen track that was appropriated, well, I guess in this case, hijacked is more appropriate, by the civil rights movement, Dancing in the Streets. First recorded by Martha and the Vandellas in July of 1964. The civil rights community would embrace this track as an anthem, treating it more like marching in the streets, a sentiment also alluded to by the Rolling Stones on Street Fighting Man, where they modified it to fighting in the streets.
Calling out around the world, are you ready for a brand new Now if you know your history and still believe that men are free, turn on your TV and watch the news. And if you had it rough today, that's just the price you got to pay. Bobby, John, and Martin paid their dues. Maybe you're afraid to speak. Some men are strong and some are weak. Your silence could lead to our sorrow. Men and women have died, you see, in the struggle to be free. Brother, you and I could die tomorrow, yeah. So tell me, Mr. President, for all the millions we have spent, what have we accomplished in our time? The final solution, instead of war and pollution, should be peace and justice in our time. Now if you think your job is done, when you've taken care of number one, like you have been doing for so long, hard hats and long hairs are marching together, 'cause they can't see any change for the better. Remember, right is right and wrong is wrong, yeah. Get involved, for goodness sake. Remember, when you chew and you stink, thousands are dying from hunger every day. Progress has ruined our lakes and streams. Rich man ripping off the poor man's dreams. In the end, we're all gonna have to pay, yeah. So tell me, Mr. President, for all the millions we have spent, what have we accomplished in our time? Final solution, instead of war and pollution, should be peace and justice in our time. Tell me, Mr. President, what you gonna do, my man? Waiting on you.
We was 90 miles out of Atlanta by sundown, rolling out of Georgia State. We had more trouble than turned into a struggle halfway across Alabama. And that hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham. Right away I bought me a through train ticket riding across Mississippi clean. And I was on that midnight flyer out of Birmingham, smoking into New Orleans. Somebody helped me get out of Louisiana, just to help me get to Houston town. There are people there who care a little about me, and they won't let the poor boy down. Sure as you're born, they bought me a silk suit, put luggage in my hand. And I woke up high over Albuquerque on a jet to the promised land. Working on a T-bone steak, out of Cardi flying over to the Golden State. When the pilot told us in 13 minutes he would set us at the terminal gate. Make it to the telephone. Los Angeles, give me Norfolk, Virginia, Tidewater, 1409. Tell the folks back home this is the promised land.
singer-songwriter Gene McDaniels and his eerily still relevant Tell Me Mr. President from 1971 on Atlantic, the only label to list him by his real name, Eugene. It's not your imagination if you're thinking that every Chuck Berry song sounds the same. They do. So why mess with success? And besides, when it started playing on the jukebox, it was instantly identifiable as such. Not necessarily a bad thing. One is Promised Land, the first single he released after getting out of prison in 1964. Written on the inside, it could also be found on the St. Louis to Liverpool LP of that same year. A record that had absolutely nothing to do with Liverpool, or, despite the implication, the Beatles, for that matter. Cool Sounds was a California funk soul band that investigated the question we're still asking today. Where do we go from here, America? One of three Warner Brothers singles they released in 1971, 1972. The message of the song we sing here in the Vinyl Garage.
Yes, my skin is black, but that's no reason to hold me back.
I have wants and desires just like you, so move on aside, 'cause I'm coming through. Oh,
no matter how hard you try, you can stop. No matter how
Yes, your skin is white. Does that make you right?
This is a message to y'all. Together we stand, divided we fall.
Black is a color, just like white. Tell me, how can a color determine whether you're wrong or right? We all have our faults. Yes, we do.
So look in your mirror.
Look in the mirror.
What do you see?
What do you see?
Two eyes. I know that I'm out just like me. Oh, your eyes open, but you refuse to see. The laws of society were made for both you and me. Because of my color, I struggle to be free.
Very similar tracks by two giants of the R&B world, James Brown and The Temptations with Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, and Message from a Black Man, respectively. The latter appropriating the former's title in its fade-out. Brown's track can be found on the King LP of the same name and the Temps contribution from their Puzzle People album. And that record was found on the Motown subsidiary, Gordy. Songs advocating civil rights or lamenting the lack thereof were not entirely a 60s kind of thing. Many of those were sung decades before the idea of appearing in a recording of all things was even a possibility. But when the opportunity became available, it was the 20s and 30s that this genre began to be immortalized on shellac. Two sides released during that time period were the Fats Waller-penned What Did I Do to Be So Black and Blue from 1929 and Strange Fruit in 1937. But first things first, Black and Blue. The song was composed for the Broadway musical Hot Chocolates, a show that also featured Ain't Misbehavin'. First recorded by Louis Armstrong and his orchestra, July of 1929. Now, it should be pointed out that the song got more than average amount of traction among the white audience, mainly because Armstrong was uncharacteristically accepted in that demographic.
What did I do to be so black and blue? Even the mouse ran from my house. They laugh at you and scorn you too. What did I do to be so black and blue? I'm white inside, but that don't help my case, 'cause I can't hide what is in my face. But how would it end? Ain't got a friend. My only sin is in my skin. What did I do to be so black and blue? in my skin. What did I do to be so black and blue?
Strange Fruit, on the other hand, well, there's just no other way of saying it, is disturbing. A song whose subject is the lynching of black Americans, the lyrics of which compare the hanging victims to the fruit on trees. Written by, strangely enough, a New Yorker, Abel Meeropol, whose professional pseudonym was the aforementioned Lewis Allen, the best-known performance of which was by Billie Holiday in 1939. Holiday approached her record label Columbia to record Strange Fruit. They refused, but in an uncharacteristically benevolent gesture for a record company, allowed her to record it for another label. Now, before you get all warm and fuzzy regarding Columbia, they were only worried about the money, fearing a backlash, and the inability in their mind to sell any copy south of the Mason-Dixon. The record was released on the indie New York label Commodore, eventually selling a million copies and becoming her best-selling recording. She and the song soon became inseparable.
Southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Pastoral scene of the gallant south, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for the tree to drop. Here's a strange and bitter.
Just get on board. with the dealers honing. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all among us love the most.
Best believe she hardly gets a penny living. bus driver, I'm getting on that horse. Thanks a lot. Wow. New York, just like I pictured it. Skyscrapers and everything.
Hey, hey, brother. Hey, come here, Slick. Hey, huh? you look hip, man. Hey, you want to make yourself $5, man?
Yeah, brother.
Hey, look here, run this cross the street for me right quick, okay? Run this cross the street for me.
Hey. What? Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on! Don't get in that cell, nigga.
God. No.
His hair is long. His feet are hard and pretty.
The calming effect of the Curtis Mayfield composition, People Get Ready, apparently inspired Dr. King to name the song the unofficial anthem of the civil rights movement, referencing the train imagery that was so pervasive within the genre. The track can be found on the Impressions LP of the same name from 1965. Systemic racism is the subject of Living for the City by Stevie Wonder from his 1973 Inner Visions LP. The track tells the story of a young black man from Mississippi escaping to New York City to find a better life, only to be framed for a crime, arrested, and sent to prison. Wonder played all instruments on the song, along with producing the album on which it appeared. We're closing out the show, the subject of which should not even be a thing, with The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. The best-known track of jazz soul proto-rap musician and poet Gil Scott-Heron. Appearing for the first time on his 1970 LP Small Talk at 125th and Lennox, in spoken word form, it was re-recorded with a full band for the B-side of his 1971 single, Home is Where the Hatred Is. The song has become one of the most relevant anthems of the ongoing civil rights movement.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose.
Well, there's another perfectly good hour of your life spent listening to me. The Vinyl Garage applauds your good taste. Questions, comments, your undying admiration, or total contempt can be directed at Facebook.com/Vinyl Garage Show or vinylgarage@oh.rr.com. So until next time, I'm Dave Nelson. As always, thanks for listening.
The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.